All right, joining us now is Tony Arterburn. It's great to have you, Tony. Wisewolf.com is his website. He sells gold, silver, and he's got some great structures there, a community with a wolf pack, and I've always dealt with Tony. And he's also set up DavidKnight.gold to let you know that you heard about him through us. And so joining us now is Tony Arterburn. Thank you for joining us, Tony.
Always great to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
What's on your mind this week? I mean, it's been an interesting week with what's happened in the financial markets, hasn't it?
Well, I think we anticipated this happening eventually. You know, Jerome Powell's raised rates faster than any time in history to try to curtail the massive inflation from the damage that they did to the dollar during the COVID era. And of course, the economy is starting to falter because of the addiction that the Western economies have to cheap fiat currency and debt creation through the central banks. Now that they're not getting their supply, they're looking to the supplier and saying, we need it. And I don't know if they're going to get it or not, but the markets certainly anticipate that. CNBC said there's going to be a Santa rally towards the end of the year. And I thought that's pretty interesting because Santa isn't real. And neither is the stock market or these ESG BlackRock type companies that are out there. And I think this is, I think, par for the course in the times that we're in, David. And I'm not sure that they're actually going to lower rates. Mm-hmm. I'm really not, because this is something that's, it's been odd, their behavior. And I think you're starting to see what's really important to these central banksters is the control of the global money supply, not so much the economies in which they reign over. I mean, they can pick winners and losers. And again, I'm not saying that they won't lower rates, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm not one of these analysts on CNBC. I don't buy into the stock market. Most of it's absolutely fake, as you and I discuss pretty much every week here. But I certainly wouldn't be one of these traders that's going to get really excited about it. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see that. I think you're going to see people thinking that happy times are here again, and I'm not so sure.
Yeah, there was a headline on Zero Hedge. Some may want to buy insurance on this tiny 0.1% CPI miss, in other words, inflation increase, that sparked a face-ripping rally. And that's the key thing. You know, people have been looking at this and thinking, well, you know, how much longer are they going to go before they lower interest rates? As Gerald Celente has said, we got an election coming up. They want to, you know, do some artificial stimulation to the economy. They'll probably lower the interest rates just before the election and you know, try to bring that about. And so with this tiny, teeny tiny thing, they said, well, we'd expected inflation to go up this much. And because it, according to our statistics, which as you point out, we know they always lie. They always lie about the unemployment numbers. They lie about the consumer price index. And they always even go back and readjust previous quarter in order to make the trend look better, you know, so they do all these obvious lies. And based on this obvious lie, you have this massive stock market rally, and everybody said, that's it. They're not going to raise interest rates anymore. And they may actually start lowering them. And so that's really what this whole rally was based upon, was the fact that they put that out there. There was really, even if you believed it was true, there was nothing much that had changed, but they saw this as a signal from the Fed that maybe they were going to ease up, and they wanted to believe that, I think, because of what's coming around with the election.
So much of it, the economy, everything's really tied to the monetary policy, which is why they started the Federal Reserve in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading something yesterday, just statistics on what happened after we went off the gold standards. That's where my mind always goes. It's my wheelhouse. Gold was up 2,000% from 1971 to 1979. What was the stock market? Has the stock market kept pace with our inflation? I don't really think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they want to put people in all these financial products. I mean, when you were a kid, not every commercial was about financial products like it is now, whether you're 401ks or IRAs or what stock or what trading platform to be on. It's so ubiquitous now because we're losing purchasing power in our currency every single day. Mm-hmm. And the powers that be, I think, you know, looking at the global picture, which is really where you need to look when you're thinking about currency, is where is the dollar going? You know, losing its share of purchasing statistics, looking at the share of the dollar being used as a currency around the world. In 2001, it was 75%. 2023, it's 46%. So we're seeing this decline in the dollar being used as the world's reserve currency. even Iraq, I saw a tweet on Gold Telegraph. Iraq has stopped. It's illegal to use dollars or to withdraw them or to take part in the Iraqi economy with dollars now, which is a huge departure from where when I went in, they lost their currency overnight. I got to see their currency with the dinar with Saddam on the face. I got to see that die in real time. Yeah. You know, people were running out of the banks with boxes of paper notes that nobody wanted, and they used dollars. So that's a massive shift where they're not even allowed to use them anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that's happening more and more around the world. The dollar is the enemy, especially to these petroleum-rich countries that may or may not be on the United States hit list, because we have the 40 different sanctions in 36 different countries. Mm-hmm. Another thing that popped up that I thought was really interesting, and I've wondered why for years, David, there's an article up on Kitco. I'd love your take on this. There's an article up on Kitco where there's an investigator who's trying to piece together the crude holdings of China, of gold holdings of China. Because I've often wondered, why did they stealthily bought gold starting at the beginning of this century? They've been stealthily buying, not putting it on their books. Gold is not exported from China. China has 60,000 gold mines. 60,000.
Wow.
And so somebody was piecing this together and thought, okay, let's look at the actual numbers that flow through the Shanghai Exchange and what didn't flow out. And so this one investigator has estimated that China actually has 33,000 tons.
Wow.
And that's in their populace, and then nationally held about 16,000 tons.
Wow.
Well, right now, supposedly the United States is the world leader in gold holdings because we haven't been a net buyer since the 50s. We haven't been adding to our supply since the 1950s. We have about 8,000 tons. So this investigator, I thought it was a really interesting article. China stealthily buying under the radar, using their exchanges, using their gold mines, their nationally controlled gold mines. As a matter of fact, Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad, had a massive gold finding in China. As a private, corporation went in there, and an investor, he found the gold. He had investors. He went to go pull it out of the earth, and China stopped his permit, and they took it over and nationalized the mine. So they are hoarding gold, keeping gold inside their borders, and they could have twice as much gold as the United States, which would give them leverage to step in and say, they're not buying treasuries anymore. And I know that Janet Yellen thinks she can pay for two wars, two more wars on the credit card. But the main lender is dumping us.
Yeah.
So China's dumping the treasury and buying gold. So there's something, I think, geopolitically. I know that I'm not supposed to go because CNBC tells me there's going to be a Santa rally and everything's okay. But I'm not so sure when China becomes the world leader in gold holdings. I think that changes the game significantly.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at Janet Yellen, I think she's had too many mushrooms in China. I think that somehow colored her judgment. That or the power, one or the other. The mushrooms or the power has gone to her head. She doesn't know what she's talking about, but I think you're right. Yeah, the Chinese take a very, very long-term approach, don't they? For everything that they do. And it is a criminal organization, as you point out, coming in and nationalizing the gold mine that he finds. As you're talking about that, it made me think of the small-time crooks that we've got in this country, like the FBI, who went in. You remember the story of these guys who found Civil War gold, and they had to report it to the federal government. The FBI comes in and says, we'll take a look at this. And they kick the guys out. And there's all this noise going on and, machinery and everything for several days, and they can't come in and look at it. And then the FBI comes out and says, nah, there's nothing there. Not now there isn't. And so,
amazing to me. Tell the audience, I hear these stories all the time. I was in my Bank of Missouri, the teller there a few months ago was telling me, he says, well, my family, they bought a table at an auction. And they were wondering why it was so heavy for so many years. Why is this table so heavy? And then finally, one of the legs came off, and they looked in, and somebody had stacked $20 gold pieces in the leg, like in hollow leg. And so it was this, they had maybe a 200, I don't know how many they had, but it was a lot. I mean, she said the legs were full of $20 gold pieces.
Wow.
And they called the FBI. Why? You own the table. And I hear people find, and of course, they lost the gold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They turned it in and lost the gold, and because they can never get it back. And there has to be an investigation because it's those, you know, 1933, pre-1933 gold coins. And so this was considered gold hoarding. You know, so I mean, it's long since been lifted through executive order to Gerald Ford that you can illegally own gold. But that's something that FDR did. You hear these stories all the time. Somebody found a lot, you know, because people after 1933 started burying the gold. Mm-hmm. Not everybody turned it in. Mm-hmm. I have evidence of that in my shop because I buy these coins all the time. So if you find gold coins, just call Wise Wolf. I'll tell you what you can do with them. You own them. I don't know what why you would call law enforcement unless it's something I don't know. But if you're on your land or it's your item, I'm pretty sure you own it.
Well, it was this particular case. It was like national park land or something like that, and it was tons of gold. And so you know, it's like there's no way that they're going to be able to hide that. But I thought it was amazing. It was just you know, in your face theft. And they're trying to sue him in court and try to get, and this thing has been going on now for years. The first time I talked about it was about 4 or 5 years ago. But yeah, it is, that's kind of the little penny anyway that our government steals from us. But of course, you know, the Chinese communists will come in and just say, nope, that's mine. You know, you're out of here. And they do that all, that's part of the China price. You always have to have the Chinese communists have to be your partners in it, you know, the upper ranking people. And, they will steal your gold mine. They will steal the plans that General Motors had for a car and do it in competition to them and release it a couple of weeks before GM releases their car. They do that all the time. You know, it's the piracy, the intellectual theft, and then just the outright theft of whatever it is that they're working on. But, you know, there's also, when we look at this, it's what's happening with gold. It's the financial markets, is the inflation and everything else, and the manipulation of the prices, as you point out, and you know whatever China is doing and whatever is happening in the Shanghai, the paper gold market, a lot of discussion about that. But there's also this report from actually from Trends Journal about how top bankers are dumping their bank stocks. And this is happening as, of course, banks everywhere, especially in the UK, they've talked a lot about it, dumping their customers. You know, it's looking over more and more like, you know, the banks are in a difficult position. You've got the commercial real estate issue is going to be affecting the middle-sized and small banks because when you had the 2008 crash, they came up with new rules for the big banks that were too big to fail. But they still let the small and medium-sized banks get into these risky loans for commercial real estate. And now they're at big risk for that because that is all going belly up. There's going to be a sweeping erasure of small banks. And then the big banks are out there killing people's bank accounts for no reason at all. Thousands of people in the UK every year are just getting kicked off now of their bank accounts without any explanation or recourse. We saw it with Nigel Farage when they did it to him because he was well-known. He was able to reverse this, but that's not happening for most of the people, the thousands of other people who are having that happen to them.
Yeah, let's war game this out a little bit. You go back to FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, you have that total collapse, and it has to be, it's crypto, because crypto is the enemy. You know, there's all this speculation, and it's all a scam. And of course, that causes the stress and the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and banks like Silvergate, which I used to send my wires to get my Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And all these regional banks start having all this stress and some get bought up. And I think that was always the point. It's always consolidation into the larger and larger banks. And this is a pathway to central bank digital currency.
That's right.
Because you're going to have just a few different banks, kind of like, you know, have a few different companies. We're really a two or three, you know, with media holdings, right? Mm-hmm. That are parent companies. So the same thing with the banks, and they're all auditioning to see which one is going to better roll out FedNow, what's going to be the bones and structure of the central bank digital currency, you know, and maybe you're going to be debanked, but it's okay because you can download your app from the Federal Reserve and get your central bank digital currency with your biometric data, David. It'll be attached to you through blockchain, so it's safe. Mm-hmm. And we can control the money supply. And we've had too much inflation, and the answer to that is a central bank digital currency. It's always problem, reaction, solution, them causing the problem in the first place, blaming it on something else that has nothing to do with it. And I think that's what this is all about. I saw the same articles And I think there's a delayed reaction, not to cause a bank panic. I think maybe there was a deal. They were told not to sell off their stocks until now. There's been a bit of a delay in what happened with Silvergate and what happened with Silicon Valley Bank and that those regional bank stressors. I think they're going to see more and more of those closures, and the big banks are going to buy them up and buy their assets. And we're going to be in the middle of it because a lot of us are going to be debanked.
I agree. Yeah, I think we're going to see the same type of narrative that we saw with the big social media companies. Well, they're corporations. They can do whatever they want, private corporations. And we find out later on that what we always knew was that they were taking orders from the government to do this kind of stuff. So if you get these, you know, you wind up things like the commercial real estate and other issues like that, start making these small banks and medium-sized banks go out of business left and right. And then you got the big guys that are the ones left standing and, you know, hey, they're private. So they, if they want to kick your bank account out, they can. And they're, but don't worry because we're the government and FedNow is going to, and FedCoin, you can use that kind of stuff. And we'll give you the banking thing. These private banks, you know, they're not nice guys, but we're great guys. We're the government. And so we're going to let you come in and have your bank account here as the, you know, provider of banking services, the last resort. And of course, it'll all come with CBDC and the digital ID and all the rest of this stuff. But, you know, they'll position themselves as a feature, not as a bug, as a savior, not as a censor, I think is what they're going to do.
I think the IMF came out and they said yesterday that, like, oh, the climate is really good right now for central bank digital currency. And they're laying that out. This is the next move that central banks are going to make. Yeah, no kidding. That's in I think the IMF, and then they have the Unicoin that they were proposing. So all these central banks of central banks and the Bank of International Settlements talking about the same thing. It's always some creative destruction at the beginning. And, you know, we're going to, for safety, and we have to regulate this. And these smaller institutions don't have the capacity to regulate. It's kind of why they've pushed out a lot of the small operators in the crypto business. David, you better have some money now. I was some of the first Bitcoin ATMs back in 2016, 2017. And those days are long gone. If you can hardly even get a bank account now. I had to sell off most of that business. It's very tough to get into.
And a new bunch of regulations, you know, if you want to deal with crypto and everything, more of these know your customer rules. I mean, they're ramping this stuff up to make it absolutely impossible to do any of this stuff. Jason Barker say we're talking about that stuff. Civil asset forfeiture, that's what they did with the gold. We don't have to accuse you of a crime. We just take it there. Honor Seeker says at least John Dillinger had some dignity as opposed to our federal government. Yeah, when they rob the banks. But of course, they're going to rob the banks and they're going to rob us as well. That's really true. Angry Tiger, they must consolidate in order to usher in CBDC. I agree. Absolutely. And Angus Mustang, thank you very much for the tip. He said, so now we would have to verify our identity to use social media, but not to vote. Yeah, you'll never have to use your identity to vote. You'll always be able to do that without probably your digital ID or your CBDC or anything else. You know, you can just always go in and pull the lever, and they'll pull the lever for you, even if you're not there, I think.
Vote early and often.
That's right.
And you don't need your biometrics. You don't need your digital wallet to do that. You can just show up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, again, this article here, Silver and Gold, Why Paper Still Moves the Physical Prices. And that is one of the things, you know, in my IRA, we put it into some of these ETFs, you know, like GLD and SLV. And then I noticed that they were not moving. The spot price was moving. I said, something phony is going on here. And I started looking at it. You know, talk about the difference with that. We've mentioned that before, how, you know, a lot of people get into it that way because it's an easy way to trade it. You know, you buy it for a tenth of what, you know, they sell it. The price is one tenth of kind of, I guess, of whatever the price of gold is. Of course, that's a lot of different places where you can price it. But it's like a one tenth of an ounce that you can get into it. And it's as easy to buy or sell as a piece of stock is. And so a lot of people get into the paper gold and paper silver. Talk a little bit about that decoupling and what is really behind it. You already mentioned, you know, the kind of secret gold stash that China's got. Does that figure into this kind of manipulation of paper gold? How do you see that?
I think so, 100%. And we talked about gold holdings of these countries are more secret than their nuclear facilities.
Yeah,
their nuclear weapons are more public than their gold holdings. And this is an underlying war. Who gets to control the money supply of the world? And the reason that in the West, and especially our exchanges, in my opinion, and there's been a lot of great journalism far beyond what I understand, they control the paper market of gold to suppress the price of gold. Because the dollar's at war with gold, has been since 1971. Because once we decoupled from the gold standard, Richard Nixon took us off of it, closed the gold window, and we have a free-floating currency. We have a fiat currency, which is Latin for by decree. Mm-hmm. And so it's backed by nothing. Gold is out there on its own, still being the world's reserve currency, if you will, but not really called that. It's just a commodity. So when gold prices go up, right, what you're seeing is the decline of the purchasing power of the dollar. So in the 1970s, you had, like I said earlier, a 2,000% increase in the price of gold. So they had to raise interest rates to the teens to stop the loss of purchasing power in the dollar. And that was under Paul Volcker in the Federal Reserve. And so right after that, they really controlled the paper markets, David. You can see them stepping in. And in the silver market alone, and I've some very smart people I follow have noted that, in times when people have tried to get the silver market to spike by buying physical silver, like in February of 2021, they bought out. I mean, every dealer I knew was out of silver. And the next day the price went down in the spot price. No one could find it, but it was gone. And the reason is because the paper market sold off 1.5 times the annual supply in one day. They sold it.
Wow.
To look like it was being dumped. So the same thing with gold. How do you really know? It's hard to say, but the central banks, again, working hand in glove with the bullion houses, can manipulate that. Mm-hmm. And they can make it look like the gold is being sold off or it's not as sought after. I promise you, if you took away the paper markets, And it was, you were forced to get physical in your hand, gold or silver, those prices would be dramatically different. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they would be, but it would be different than what you're looking at now. That's the true manipulation, is to suppress it, which is kind of flies in the face of what normal people think. Because if you're doing insider trading, you want to get that price to spike, or you want to get some kind of profit from it. And so it's counterintuitive to what we understand, but that is a, the United States and the Federal Reserve are at war with gold. They have been for a while, and that's going to continue. And that, especially when you talk about those gold holdings, we haven't added to. There's only one central bank not buying it. It's us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The United States and is not buying. It's not a net buyer of gold anymore. It hasn't been since the 1950s.
Yeah, yeah. Harps says paper, gold, and silver are really just expensive toilet paper. When you look at any of this stuff, the way they can manipulate it, and that's the key thing. You know, real money is what you hold, and real money is gold. And so you have to, they have so many different ways that they can manipulate the market, you know, just as the Federal Reserve can, just out of thin air, create money. Wall Street can do the same thing. I mean, just look at the way they spin these narratives and so forth. But for the longest time, as I pointed out earlier this week, Moderna, went for over a decade, had no product, but they kept making tons of money with great stories on Wall Street. They'd give people this great story about this new product that's going to be coming along, and everybody would buy their stock. They would cash in some stuff, and they would keep going, and then that wouldn't pan out. So then they would come up with another story about another product that was also vaporware until they got to Trump. But I saw that with Blockbuster Video. They were able to put that on the stock market because we were competing with them. They were able to get unlimited amounts of money from the stock market, even though they were losing money every single year. And then they would use that ability to lose money. They would use that to put mom and pop stores out of business. I remember them coming into our area and putting, they would select one retailer at a time, and they would put a big store right across from them or right in front of them in an out parcel when they were in line in the shopping center. And put them out of business. So they use that for predatory practices. It's the same way that, they manipulate the gold and silver markets. These people who have, these markets have allowed them to do this type of thing. So I think the real key is when we look at the thing that I find interesting about the gold stuff is not what is going to happen with inflation or the rest of the stuff, but it's about this complete financial system reset for control and surveillance. That's what concerns me about it.
Yeah, gold is freedom outside of that system. If you've got physical gold with you, no counterparty risk, you're in a lot better position than having your funds in a bank. Mm-hmm. And I'm not telling you to go close your bank account. I'm just saying you look at the pressure on regional banks or banks that are friendly to people, like human beings, mm-hmm. don't treat you like a number. Those banks are under a lot of pressure and are going to be in the future, especially with these economic changes that are only going to benefit the few. Mm-hmm. So having something outside of the system, especially gold and silver, is really important. And knowing how to use that, mm-hmm. Knowing that what kind of product you're going to get from a dealer is very important right now, because there isn't going to be enough supply. As soon as the people that are watching CNBC and think there's going to be a Santa rally that aren't, I don't even know where to begin, mm-hmm. Because you're talking about a system that is, you just discussed earlier, it's no longer based on profit, David.
Yeah,
that's right. Our stock market's no longer based. It's all fake, and it stems from having mm-hmm. fake money. Mm-hmm. I mean, JP Morgan said that gold is money and everything else is credit. Wrong. Everything else is debt now. And you know, these companies that are running, they're zombies. Mm-hmm. They don't make money, but they don't die. Mm-hmm. So I don't buy into this system, and I don't think there's going to be a good outcome here other than what they are engineering, which is a reset. I mean, it's a financial reset. So the best way to be outside of that is to have something with no counterparty risk and something that's always been money and always will be. And that's gold and silver, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah. It's going to be, they're going to lower the hammer. I mean, we just saw this again in Australia. They had a major internet provider go down. And telecom company, and nobody could do any transactions because they'd made everything so cashless. It's such a vulnerable system if you don't actually physically hold it. And then, you know, in terms of infrastructure, they had some kind of an attack on 40% of their ports got shut down and stayed shut down. And that was probably also, that was definitely a cyber attack of some sort, probably on the financial side of that. But again, you know, we've seen this over and over again. The attacks come on the financial side. And so as we become more and more tied to that, I think it's going to be more and more vulnerable. Handy says this year was the first year I've seen my county accept a digital wallet as a payment option for property taxes. There'll probably be a requirement for certain interactions with the government to use some kind of a CBDC. But again, you know, it's going to be a mix for people to be able to be a little bit outside of that system. Before we end, tell us a little bit about what's going on at Wise Wolf.
Well, a couple of things. There's never been a better time, I think, in history to really examine being part of this system, like we just discussed, being part of the stock market, the 401ks, the IRAs, and all the things that were set up after 1971 to help you not remember that you're losing purchasing power in your dollar or not realize it. And we make it really easy. If you've got an existing IRA or 401k, you can go through davidknight.gold. I'll roll that into physical gold and silver. So you can get physical gold and silver bars, coins, whatever you'd like, if it fits the IRA parameter. And that's your physical gold and silver. Now, it has to go into a third-party vault. We mm-hmm. make it really simple. I've got the process down pretty well. So you can go to davidknight.gold and check that out. We're happy to answer any of your questions. And on the other end of that spectrum, we've made it really easy to get physical gold and silver on a monthly basis through Wolfpack. Same thing, davidknight.gold. There's a tab that says Join Wolfpack. Low as $50 a month, you can join the Lone Wolf program. We send you fractional silver, sometimes gold, especially in the higher tiers. You'll get fractional gold, but all sorts of variety, different coins, gold backs, the gold back notes. We bought more of those this last week. And so much variety. I mean, sovereign coins, generics, bars, everything you can imagine flowing through Wolfpack. We got nearly 800 members. I'd love to see that get to 1,000. I think that should be our base level, because the more people that join, the better prices I can get, the better buy-ins. And I've been doing a lot of great buy-ins lately. So go and check that out. And I would also mention too, David, I was just in Las Vegas last week. I set up a new media company, and you're going to be a part of that with freeworld.fm. I just got to get the hookups done on your show and my show. But we're already streaming. Freeworld.fm is up and it's live.
Oh, that's great.
It's going to be a free speech platform and with great hosts like yourself. And I'd ask any of your listeners, just give us a try. We're working on the logistics right now. But it's another lifeboat for those of us who want free speech. I'm making hay while the sun is shining. If I've got a little bit to put into invest, I'm investing in us. So I was out doing that last week, and I set up a new media company. So freeworld.fm, and it's going to proudly host the David Knight Show every morning.
Yeah, we've been trying to get it on there. We've got a couple of issues because of the platform that's there, and it's Mac or PC that's there. So Travis is not here. When he gets back, we're probably going to be able to get that. We'll have enough manpower that we can get that solved. But looking forward to doing that. I got one question before you go. Atomic Dog says, sure. David, can you ask Tony if platinum will remain flat, or does he see it moving higher soon? You don't get involved in platinum, do you? It's just gold and silver, or do you do other metals?
I deal in platinum. We had one of your listeners had a pretty large IRA and bought a significant amount of platinum about a year ago, and I had to source them. And you government mints make platinum, like Canada, the United States. Most all government mints have platinum. It's used in catalytic converters and other things that require that for the technology. That's been flat because of the production of cars and other things that are going into the EVs. But I do think that just over time, I think platinum will move just for the sheer fact that the dollar's losing purchasing power. So there's other uses for platinum beyond auto manufacturing, and I think you're going to see more and more of it. So I do think platinum has a potential to move, and it's definitely not going to be something that's going to be discarded. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a long upside to platinum.
Well, it's good. Yeah, maybe even copper. Who knows? We'll get the original copper pennies and
same
stuff.
Thing.
Exactly. Anything that's physical, you know? I mean, they want to put us in a virtual world. We got to go counter to that. They want to consolidate everything globally. We need to go local. Everything that they want, we know what they want. We go counter to it. And it is so good to have you on, Tony. And thank you for what you're doing. Looking forward to the freeworld.fm platform. And all the other things that you're putting together. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate
Thank you.
You.
All right, folks, we're going to be back in just a moment, and we're going to be connecting to Mark Thornton, who is a senior fellow at the Mises Institute. And we're going to talk some more economics, and we're going to talk specifically about what he saw happening a few years ago and what he thinks is going to be happening from his perspective. We'll be right back.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Join us shortly when we stack things up back to back. We have to do the invitations sequentially, but he should be joining us very soon. While we're waiting for him to join, Steve Malloy, that I've talked to many times, and his site is Junk Science, as he's pointing out, Tony was talking about how the move away from internal combustion engines is depressing the demand a little bit for platinum because of the catalytic converters and things like that. But Steve Malloy says EVs are easily the biggest failure of centrally planned industrial policy in U.S. history. We're going to have a lot of these things because they're essentially planning everything now. The windmills are failing. We've had companies like Solyndra and others are failing. They want to do everything in a central way. They're centrally planning our central grid, and they're planning to take it down. It says, despite massive subsidies, Ford lost $30,000 per EV sold in 2022. 2023's losses will be even greater. GM has abandoned its target of selling 400,000 EVs next year. 10 years of EV driving requires $50,000 in taxpayer subsidies. He says that's equivalent of a gasoline costing $17.33 per gallon. Think about that. Because of government subsidies that we're all going to wind up paying. And he says, that's just for openers. Okay, we've got our guest ready. I'm going to take a very quick break, and we're going to be right back. Stay with us.
The globalist's next move. And now, the David Knight Show.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. Trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.